Welcome to the final instalment of the LIBOR podcast series, where we will be discussing what our clients should consider when managing the impact for their customers of this transition. My name is Rob Downes, and I'm the Senior Principal Product Manager for Lending at Finastra. I'm here this morning with David Hobbs, our Global Line of Business Lead for Lending. So, David, obviously, there's a lot of players involved in this. You've got borrowers, agents, lenders. Everyone's going through a transition, and everyone's got a different perspective of that transition. How important is communication in that conversation and that dynamic?
It's absolutely critical, and I think what's obvious from the engagements we've had and with other banks, we're still seeing a wide range in terms of appetite to adopt these the risk-free rates. There are banks who are really driving and you know, pushing forward to be the first in line for this, but there are others who, for want of a better phrase, are adopting more of a wait and see policy. And I think the reality is that that's not going to be an option for much longer. There are announcements in the past week in relation to a cutoff, if you like, for new issues of LIBOR loans for the third quarter of next year. So that really should be focusing attention of those banks who are still perhaps waiting to see where the market goes. And obviously the banks that do adopt this early will have more muscle, if you like, in the game in terms of being able to determine the best rates and the best variables within these rates that will appeal to the market. So I think that the communication of this is very critical, and banks need to be engaging not only with their customers but with each other, because the bank groups will need to really buy into the best rate, the rate that most appealing to them, but obviously the borrowers as well need to be involved in that as part of the renegotiation of the credit agreements.
Yeah, I think you touch on a very important point there. I think banks need to be comfortable and confident that these new risk-free rates can be viably used across all types of lending. Obviously, on the bilateral side, it's relatively straightforward for a bank to work out what sort of product they want to structure and offer. When you start looking at syndicated deals, you've got to ensure it's not just about what you can put out there. It's about how big a bank group you can generate to support that loan and service a large syndicated loan. I think the key to that is giving the institutions the confidence that the systems are there to help and the systems are there to do it, and they have the configurable options to support different lookbacks, different lockouts, different currencies, etc. I think once the banks gain that confidence, it'll help them really determine what products they want to offer, if they want to gain a market leading advantage by going as early as they can. And then based on that, how much appetite there is from their borrowers to consume at the different types of lending. So obviously, it's very important from a systems perspective. How can Finastra help the institutions get that confidence that the infrastructure is there to support them in the products they want to offer?
Exactly. And so the 751 release of LoanIQ is absolutely critical to this, because without the underlying solution to support this, you're going to be, even if you offer the rates, a bad performance in supporting that is going to reputational risk is going to be massively increased, and the variables of the rates now in LIBOR, the only real variable is how the rate will be rounded up or down. Now you've got all these different things that you just touched on, Rob. The lookbacks, the lockouts, the compounding, all of these aspects, and banks will find the rates that are more agreeable to the market, to their borrowing base, and as you said, the lending group. But the critical thing here is to have the solution that can support all of those variables, and that's where LoanIQ version 751 is absolutely crucial to that.
Yeah, and the key message I think from us is it is work as hard as you can to get that confidence internally within your institution of the products you want to offer, and then get out there, speak to your borrowers, speak to your lenders, You know, work out where this equilibrium is going to play out, because potentially risk-free rates are not every aspect of the market in all markets. Some potentially they are. For instance, in Switzerland, you know, there's no talk of term rates there. I think in markets where there are talk of term rates, I think it's important banks get a good understanding for where their product portfolio sits and where that balance between term rates and risk-free rates sits.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, David. So this brings to an end our LIBOR podcast series. You can check out more information about the LIBOR transition on our website or contact us. Thank you very much for listening.